This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Now I'm talking with Roy Osherov. Roy, and still at the Software Passion Summit, by the way, and Roy is working on a book about software leadership. And what I think is interesting is that you are going to solicit contributions from people that have experience with software leadership. So tell me some more about the book.
First of all, hi. So the name of the book is Notes to a Software Team Leader. And it's currently being published at LeanPub, so that's another experiment that I'm doing. And LeanPub.com is a pretty cool idea because you publish your stuff incrementally, and you can actually sell your book as you're writing it. And you can suggest a minimum price and a maximum or a suggested price. And then people can actually subscribe to your book and get updates, kind of like a blog. But then at the end, but every time they actually get a PDF of the book as if it's done.
Oh, wow. How agile of you.
It's very, very agile, very lean, and so far it's working great. So the book is made out of two parts. The first part is the idea of elastic leadership, which I'm going to talk about maybe later. And the second part is community contributions, or basically community notes, notes from other team leaders about their experiences. And basically I asked them, what advice would you give to a team leader who's just starting out tomorrow? What was the one thing you wish someone would have told you when you were starting out? And I'm getting some great stuff so far from people like Uncle Bob and Patrick Kwa and other people like Kevlin Henney. And Kevlin Henney is actually the guy who came up with the name of the book. Because I wanted it to be sort of like one of those books called 99 Things Every Software Developer Should Know. I want it to be for team leaders. But that name's pattern has been taken by a publishing house. I don't know why. So that's a pretty good name that we have so far.
I like the name. And so you're going to target it. One part of your audience is going to be people that are brand new to this leadership thing. And I know in the environment that we work in, quite often new leaders used to come from a very technical role. They used to be the senior software developer who knew everything. And now all of a sudden, hey, you're going to be the team lead. It has to be a rough transition for a lot of people. I know it's a rough transition for a lot of people. But that's the type of person that you're targeting with this book, right?
That's exactly the type of person. Is that type of person? It's not a type of person, but let's say a persona. Someone who wouldn't usually pick up a management book because it kind of doesn't relate to them. So I kind of think of my book as a kind of management / leadership book in disguise, because it's actually bottling knowledge from a lot of different books and putting it in a way that makes sense to me as a software developer. So it's the book that I wish I could have read when I was starting out as a team leader. Because when I was a team leader at the beginning, I thought I was doing great. I mean, people were actually saying what a good team leader I was. And it took me a few good years to realize that I wasn't doing my job as a team leader, even though I was having fun. But to understand what my role as a team leader was took me a few good years and a few good mentors. So I would think about this book as that missing mentor that everyone should have.
How did you get started thinking about this topic? I mean, was there something specific that happened in your life that said made you passionate about this?
I've always been passionate about people. So I'm always at the crossroads of where people and software meet. So I've always found myself doing very high-level stuff and very low-level stuff. So if I was doing like a regular expression testing program at one end, but I was also blogging about team leadership on the other end. I was talking about marketing companies on blogging, and then I was also writing a book about unit testing. So I've always been on both sides of the equation. This book came out because it needs to come out. It's a missing book. It's just like the unit testing book that I've been writing, The Art of Unit Testing. That book has been missing because it's kind of like a bridge. There are some really advanced book out there, X-Unit Test Patterns, etc., but there is no bridge from zero to that book. So I kind of think of the Notes to Software Team Leader as the bridge book between knowing nothing and all those advanced management books and theories. So it's a very down-to-earth, practical idea, something that that I think I can actually contribute. And it talks about something that I don't know if it's discovered, but I had like a brain fart, let's say that, about the idea of where some types of leadership match specific stages of a team. Mm. And I haven't seen that anywhere else. And that kind of makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. So I wanted to actually make it a bit more formal and talk about it. You know.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that would be something like a brand new team would need a different leadership style than an established team.
Not necessarily a brand new team, but I talk about the idea that teams go through three different phases and they continually move between them. And the first phase, the phase where most teams would begin usually is the phase where I call it the chaos phase, where the team doesn't have enough time to learn. So it's constantly chasing its own tail, putting out fires, never having enough time to do unit testing, etc. And the leadership type required to get the team out of chaos is a very different type of leadership than what happens when you do have time to learn. Because when you have time, when you don't have time to learn, you cannot expect people to learn unit testing or TDD. You cannot challenge them to grow and become better. You actually have to make time for the team. So you have to be more of a command and control leader to get the team to a phase where they can actually do something and learn new things. And in the second phase, which I call it the learning phase, that's the phase where you're actually more of a mentor slash coach slash someone who challenges them to become better, and yourself as well, so that they learn how to solve their own problems. Okay. So if you are, you cannot be a command and control leader at that time because you have to teach people to make their own decisions. But why are you doing this? Well, you're doing this so that when they learn how to solve all their own decisions, they can actually become self-organizing. So that's the third phase. A lot of teams would like to believe that they're self-organizing. But unless you as a team leader can actually go out on a break for 3 days, shut down your cell phone and come back and nothing will be blowing up in the building, then your team is not really self-organizing, because the ship cannot go on with the captain means that the ship is not self-organizing. Let's say it like that. And each one of these phases has a matching leadership type that if you apply it at the wrong phase, it just breaks everything up. So if you have a self-organizing team, people who know how to solve their own problems, they've been doing this for years. They're experts at what they're doing. They know how to talk to each other, and you force them to do daily stand-ups and ask them all these questions, and they just know what has to be done. If you apply command and control to a self-organizing team, you're gonna have a team on your hands that doesn't want to do a job because they were happy just doing the job really well before, assuming that they were doing it really well. Mm. But on the other hand, if you have a team that doesn't know, even have skills how to solve their own problems, and you think that locking them in a room and saying self-organize for 2 weeks and come back with an answer, and then you expect them to actually come back with anything besides duh, you are mistaken, because that leadership type doesn't make any sense. Mm. I think that's a lot of the mistakes that team leaders today make are leading the team differently than what the team needs. Mm-hmm. So that's the basic premise of the idea of elastic leadership. Now, there's a thing called situational leadership that is unfortunately taken in terms of like patented or something like that. Yeah, you can't actually use it or talk about it. I think you're going to have to bleep out those words. What a great situation that is, right? So I just call this whole thing elastic leadership.
Okay. Yeah, because we can't pay royalty fees for this podcast. So
even if we could, I would never pay the person who patented that.
So it sounds like the book is going to be a mixture of some theory, some practice, some advice, some things that you should do and some things that you shouldn't do. And I think that was one of the topics for your talk today, was some mistakes or things not to do, right? What are some mistakes that you commonly see?
So the biggest mistake is not recognizing what phase you're in, not even realizing there are phases. So starting to talk about those things is, I think, the most important thing. Other mistakes are being afraid of engagement, being afraid of actually talking to people about difficult things. Now, there is a phrase in one of Jerry Weinberg's works called Becoming a Technical Leader, where he writes, "Management done right is a really tough job. That's why you get paid more." But a lot of managers, they like to take the money and not do all the tough parts. Mm. What are the tough parts? It's talking to people. Mm-hmm. It's not only challenging them, but actually understanding why are they doing what it is that they're doing or not. And we are always afraid of engaging people. And there are multiple ways we do that. We blame them in our heads by saying they're lazy, they don't care. I've met plenty of people, including myself, that secretly think that we have a person in the team whose IQ is definitely less than the average IQ in the team. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a blaming culture because people have different reasons for doing what they do. Mm-hmm. And it saves us from actually going to the person, sitting down one-on-one and actually talking about the problem. Because that is a lot of people's greatest fear, including for me, mm-hmm. is to lose relationship with people, is to, being scared that you'll make them leave and multiple other things.
And it sounds like you have to care about people and find out what motivates them, right?
Well, if you don't, you have to learn how to do that. Not just find out what motivates them, but why is a specific behavior happening? So one of the other things that I think team leaders make the mistake of doing is not understanding how to influence behavior. Mm. And I talk about the 6 influence forces in a book called Influencer.
Oh, wow.
And that's a very important topic because it lets you look at a problem in your team. Let's say that someone doesn't want to do TDD. And it gives you kind of a checklist of 6 basic influence forces that a lot of times we forget to do. A lot of times we just look at the person level. Mm-hmm. Does the person have the motivation to do it? Mm-hmm. Does the person have the ability to do it? And if both of them are true, then everything should be okay. Mm-hmm. But we miss 2 other levels of abilities and motivations. The middle one is the social ability and motivation. Mm-hmm. How do people react around that person when they do this? Mm-hmm. And what do people that person looks up to do? Mm-hmm. Does he have strength in numbers or is he alone in doing this? And the third level is organizational or environmental. Is that person physically able to do that job in the environment? Let's say pair programming. Can they do that if we have tables who are like round tables where you can only have room for one person? Does the company have rewards and punishments for doing specific behaviors? Mm. Do you get rewards for shipping early without quality? Do you get rewards for quality without, regardless of the release time? So all these things matter. A lot of times, a lot of people don't realize that you might have multiple influences for a specific behavior. And there's one sentence in that book that I really like. It's called, and it goes like, every behavior that you see, the world is perfectly designed for that behavior to happen. Mm. You just have to realize what is the design.
Interesting. Yeah.
And you have to go through each of the things that matter for that behavior, and you have to solve all of them. Mm. Sometimes it's going to be 3 of the 6, sometimes it's going to be 2 or 4. If you only solve one of them, behavior is not going to change. You have to solve all 4 if you have 4 things that bother you. The first one is personal motivation, and for that you're going to have to actually talk to the person, by the way.
This actually sounds like something I'd be interested in, not because I lead a software team, but sometimes I get involved with software teams and I just need to, it's a temporary leadership thing sometimes as a consultant, get understanding people and getting them to move in a certain direction.
Yeah, that would work for anyone who's ever tried to influence the behavior of other people. As a team leader, though, you have an extra ounce in your step or bounce in your step because you have also, you have the ability to make a decision without asking for permission for some things. Mm. Like saying to a person, from now on, you're in charge of X, just to see what would happen. And a lot of times consultants or scrum masters don't have permission to change things. They just have permission to ask questions. And so they can't seem to get things done because maybe everyone's in a chaos stage and chaos stage requires some command and control.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Roy, if anyone wants to get in contact with you about buying your book or perhaps contributing to the book, then where should they go?
Well, the easiest place is to go through the book blog at 5wise.com or just go to leanpub.com/teamleader.
Okay. And that sounds good. Well, I'm going to be looking forward to it. So, and thank you for being on.